All right, Zig coming in on the top. Today on the show, we have Mark Scully of World Sucks. Mark is a singer guitar player. World Sucks is kind of like a hardcore thrash metal band and a band that is fueled by friendship and frustration. Their songs deal with injustices of the world and channel their fury, seeking out others that feel a similar sense of rage and actively go about pursuing their passions and making a difference. World Sucks is going on tour. They are hitting mostly East Coast, going some South, and every venue they play, they're donating half the profit they make from the shows to a local abortion clinic. As far as Ohio dates go, 5/29, they're playing in Cincinnati at the Comet, and 5/30 in Youngstown, Ohio at the Westside Bowl. We're going to listen to a tune. This is Disorder off their latest EP, Old Fashioned Headbanging. World Sucks.
Bastard fascist living the crime.
Disorder, the band World Sucks, EP, Old Fashioned Headbanging, available on all the streaming platforms. Check it out. They got a new EP that's coming out. They got a new album that's coming out. And it's going to not be on all the streaming stuff. You're going to have to get it at a show. And as a reminder, for my friends in Ohio, if you want to catch them, 529 Cincinnati the Comet and 530 Youngstown, Ohio West Side Bowl with our good friend Glass Arrows. Check it out. Lastly, if you can like, rate, review, subscribe to the podcast and any of the podcast platforms, it helps me keep talking to cool guests like Mark and sharing their insights with you. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Mark. Dig it. Well, I wanted to start off by saying World Sucks for sure, but it definitely doesn't because there's people like you guys doing what you're doing and going around promoting your music and doing good. So it's a heavy statement. That's a true statement, but also it's kind of counteracted by what you guys are doing, which I think is the point, right?
Yeah. So a lot of what Nick and me try to do is, and this is more quoting him than anything, is to basically say, like, you know, there's a lot what's wrong with the world and who's wrong. And, you know, you can finger point all day, but like, what are we doing? What are we doing about it? What are we doing to change it? I think if you're touring as a band and you have this platform and you have this microphone and you want to make some kind of real change, or you want to contribute to making some kind of real change, you know, the best thing you do is use your platform, be it a social media platform, or for us, our music, our stage. And really what we try to do is back up our talk on the records, you know, with real action. I think that's the core tenet of what this band is. You know, we always are going to be what World Sucks is and stands for, which is just unapologetically fighting for a better way and a better path forward for all people, you know?
I don't know. I feel a lot of the rhetoric around, you know, what's right, what's wrong is just that. It's just kind of talk. And like, you know, with action, it doesn't have to be huge action to like prove it. You know, not that I'm not trying to minimize anything, that you know, but like just the two steps one can take towards doing actually something as opposed to just talking about it amplifies it that much more. And like,
oh no, definitely.
And like, just even the act of following your passion. I'm a musician. I'm doing this. We're going on tour. People see that or are motivated by that. And when you combine it with something else that is bigger than just like the kind of self-actualization of yourselves, which is huge. Like it's one of those things that, I mean, one can look at it with like a lens of jealousy and see it as like a selfish act, but really like when you're fully immersed in what you're doing and jumping into the van and hitting the clubs where you're playing like two people and like the nights where you're paid in pizza and like, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like when you really do it, like, just the act that you're doing that shows others that they can do that. Even if that's not jumping in the van, if that's writing a book or whatever. And like, I don't know, like when you guys first hit me up, that's what really caught me, was what you guys were doing. So the kind of, I guess, to kind of take it into more of like where this came from, you guys were in different bands for a while. Like,
So it's like this. Me and Nick we're a 30-year friendship, right? And we've been in bands since 1997 together. Few different iterations of things, nothing real serious. We were in like a really weird, like hardcore adjacent band that kind of like infused some jazz. Like think Candiria, maybe not as good, but think Candiria as a, you know, as a benchmark of, I think, what we were trying to do. Or any band that we could be compared to at that time. And then you have like other bands that we went into more like, I was a vocalist for many, many years. And I ended up deciding I'm sick and tired of, you know, humming to people my ideas on guitar. I'm just going to pick up a guitar and learn how to play it the wrong way. And I did. So, but I was still a vocalist, so started playing. Nick was my drummer for a couple bands. Then he broke into like the indie rock scene and stuff like that, really started opening up his horizons as well, which comes full circle to where World Sucks is today. Because regardless of whether we're rooted in punk and metal, each song you can kind of hear that pivot where like we're really opening the door of experimentation and sound. And the goal, I think, of this band, when we finally put it together and we're like, all right, let's just trim the fat, it's just gonna be me and you, we're just going to create these pummeling songs. But moreover, now I think our goal is to create anthems, you know, in the spirit of Dylan, in the spirit of Baez, in the spirit of Guthrie, like to be able to say, this is heavy music for heavy times. And, you know, we just want to be out here writing about things that, you know, really need to be written about now. Like, I don't think metal ever did a great job ingratiating itself to other people. It was very closed off, right? Like you go to the shows and it's just mostly bro-y or mostly misogynistic or whatever. And I think what we tried to do or are trying to do is follow that punk route that, you know, when they did it right, obviously there was a lot wrong, but when they did it right, they opened those doors to everybody and everybody was welcome at those shows. It didn't matter if you were purple, if you had a fucking hump on your back, whatever it was, you were welcomed at that show and they treated you that way. And that's how I want everybody to feel at a World Sucks show, safe, that this music is for everybody. Either by sound or by message that we're conveying. And when we hit the road, man, it's the same thing. Like, yeah, we're going into a bunch of red states with, you know, the idea of funding regional abortions. And we're going to do that. And we don't care. We're not afraid of open carry. We're not afraid. Like, we're going to be out there and we're going to say what needs to be said. And we're going to support the people we think need to be supported in those states. We're not out there to just leave them for dead. You know, we're going to support you. We'll find our people. We'll find our communities within those states that are just fucking rotten right now. So that's what we do.
I think two thoughts on that. One, metal itself is like, is pretty like kind of like insulated within itself. It's a very kind of like, you know what I mean? Like it's kind of like an introverted like view. Like I think like Dio, you know what I mean? Like to really clearly highlight it. Like, like as far as like this mystic kind of imaginative realm in which like lyrics kind of like build up in this epicness and this like kind of hero's journey of one's imagination is taking place, which is cool. And you know what I mean? Like it's a very like important place and thing to be able to have and go to. It's like escapism. That's what I'm looking for.
Of course.
And like, and after hearing what you said, after listening to all the EPs you guys have put out, I definitely get that Dylan, Joan Baez, like, kind of punk twisted metal vibe, which is really, really cool. And, like, I think you guys are, like, on tour more. I think you're going to be more pleasantly surprised with, like, the people you meet and who get behind what you're doing. That's my rose-tinted view of it. Like,
no, it's great. And it's great that you're taking that from it because that's what we have gotten, like, so we have been out on tour many, many times, and we've been to many cities, and we've been, you know, through Canada, whatever else. And then, you know, next year, hopefully with the new record, you know, we start to look at where we go international and this, that, the other. But what we have noticed being out there, that's what I'm saying, like, not that there's more of us than there more that, like, I hate that whole,
groupism
thing to it, yeah. But like there's the communities of people, great people that we have, you know, that we have found, that we have discovered, that we have, you know, been able to have repeat, you know, people come to the show and are just like, yeah, you guys were here last year, I saw you, I didn't get to talk to you, and we'll spend hours. Like, I mean, that's the best thing in the world for me with touring. It doesn't matter what we're paid, it doesn't matter what, you know, like, we both work remotely, we bring our work on the road if we have to, that's fine, but like, it's just about really being in that crowd. And I don't care how big or how small the crowd is, it could be an empty Tuesday night or a packed Saturday, I'm still going to be in that crowd with those people engaging, because like that's what it's about. I don't ever want to lose that. I don't care how successful World Sucks gets. I don't care how mid-level we are or low-level we are. I just want to be out there for the people that our music was made to be there for, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And like, that's like, there's nothing, as far as like what touring really is, when it comes down to it, it is that. There's no like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's next, like, it, to me, unfathomable levels when you're like, we toured and we like made money, you know what I mean? Like, it's
right.
Like, I maybe that's just my view of it is like, is exactly what you're saying is like, you're there to meet those people and be there for that. Even if it's like how you said, a Tuesday night with five people and or right. the packed house on Friday, like, that and that, it's like those are the bits that keep it all going, knowing that these five people are here on a Tuesday night, you know, like they got to wake up and they got to wake up
hell
at five
yeah,
tomorrow,
man.
You know, but they're here
yeah,
right
like
now.
It's really something like you're saying, like, it's like, if I don't give you everything, like I said, five people, 5,000 people, I don't care. If I don't give you everything I have in the tank, that's very disingenuous and not authentic to what World Sucks is. And me and Nick both feel that. Every night that we play, every show we play, look, we could be on empty. We're still going to find something in the tank for those people that could be out there. You know, I give you that, like, we're two people, right? Nick plays out of a double bass kit. I bring two full Marshall stacks on the road with me. I play out of three different amplifiers to create a sound that is more like five people than two. That's truly something we always wanted to do live, was be able to be like, okay, if we can't do it live, we're not going to do it on a record. That was what led us to make the decision to bring Tony into the band, which the next time we tour will be a three piece. So this is kind of like the finale of us as a duo, even though it's been 10 years. It's just opening up these worlds where they say World Sucks is even getting like psychedelic in a lot of ways. Very, very like atmospheric. It opens a lot of stuff up for me because I have a very, very strange way of playing guitar, or so I've been told. I play flipped. I play left-handed upside down. And like in doing that with the vocals and being able to, I have this really odd tuning, and I would be lying to you if I told you what it was. It's just something I came up with to be able to do power chords with two fingers and just be up and down the neck the whole time. So it's really something to see us, because it's just this unrelenting freight train of energy, but it's all positive energy. And what you were saying about, we've been really fortunate. I think that we don't just like force merchandise out there. Like, we really think about our shirts. We think about what we want to represent the band. And you know, so we have this shirt from one of our old anthems. It's called Punch Your Local Nazi, which quite frankly sounds a little silly now, right? Because of the real what we're going through in the world today, it seems like we have more problems. And I know that that's really messed up to say, because fuck Nazis to death, but like, there is a lot more going on in the world and just outside our regional view that we need to get involved with and try to make some changes with. You know, questioning just our basic humanity. I think that's a lot of what our new stuff is doing, and like kind of calling out the mainstream media and the horrors of how this is all manufactured consent to just keep capitalism going. Like, I think that that's our message in the new record more, like just like really pointing at power rather than, you know, just these bottom level fucking knucklehead Proud Boys. It's funny because the way we look at it too is like, if everybody could just take a step back, right? Take a step away from the table and look at it and go, you know, I know you're a Republican and I know you're a MAGA and I know you're this, but you're still poor and you're still under the thumb of the rich and powerful, and you're a racist shithead and you're an Islamophobe. But we all have more in common on this level than you do with the 1% of people you think deserve to be protected. They're keeping you under thumb. And I think that if everybody could just kind of break through and have a goddamn conversation, there is a place where all of us underneath can rise above and take that power away. So like I said, I think that's what we try to do. We've been very fortunate on the road with our merch sales. Like, they've carried us through tours, and that's I can't thank people enough for that. But if people need to start thinking about, there's a bigger picture here globally, like it has to fall. Power has to go. Supreme Court has to burn. Fucking the Congress has to go. It's not for everybody. The two-state party, the two states, like it's got to go. Like it, something has to happen. Something has to be undone. And I don't know where that goes, but I want to be something of a soundtrack to that, if that makes sense.
Well, I think the important thing being that one being said, there's a handful of important things, but the idea that it starts with a conversation. It starts with kind of putting aside this kind of emotional like turmoil that we're kind of pressed in by media to believe. You know what I mean? Like the right. idea like of this kind of like one against the other thing, or in the emotional like kind of like button that's pushed with some of these like kind of like a big issue politics that are assigned to people. I think once we kind of scroll that on people, like, oh, you're this and that and that, we really can't talk with the individual because I've already subscribed like a t-shirt of what bands they like, not knowing what they listen to. You know what I mean? It's kind [S2] Right. [S1] Of a strange metaphor. And like, and then that emotional button's pushed and I can't, or I can't have an actual connection with an individual because I'm caught up with this kind of like pre-subscribed like who this person is, where you really don't know, and then nothing really moves because we're fed like this kind of like nonsense to subscribe to people and this person that because they think that. Well, that person might be that because they never had a conversation to think otherwise. Or that person's that because they never read a book that made them think in a different direction. You know what I mean? Or that person's yeah. that because they did read a book and, you know, whatever. But I think like going at this in that type of sense is like how you guys are approaching it is a very important like way to go about it. Because if not, nothing. It's just that emotional hot button that never gets settled. It just keeps getting pushed and like,
right.
You know? So,
well, it's like when Nick wrote the lyrics for No Go, which is the new single, you know, that's kind of coming out April 26th or whatever. One of the reasons why we've been asked this repeatedly, why are you keeping it off streamers for now? Because we kind of also want to look at this view of what's happened with musicians where they're under the thumb of another thing in power, and that's all these streamers that are like just ripping musicians off left and right. I mean, it's no secret that musicians are getting robbed by having their stuff on there, unless you're just, you know, unless you're one of the big three or four that these streamers continue to just shove down everybody's throat, and they end up on every, you know, pregame NBA. And I'm not faulting them. I'm not faulting these musicians. I mean, they have incredible fan bases and they're very loyal, but these streamers do not do a good job like committing themselves to spreading local music or helping local music at minimum, even though Bandcamp was bought and, you know, it's doing some things that we're not happy with. It's still a platform for people to go pay a decent wage to artists that busted their ass to make those records. So the reason why we keep it off streamers right now, and ultimately it's going to be there, our other stuff is there, but it's just to say, hey, we want to make this kind of exclusive, something that's very personal and intimate for our true fans, for people, and not just for us to get paid, but for like other bands to say, you know what, this can be done without this fucking social media. This can be done with that. Like, there are ways to just like start to maybe look back at a renaissance and say, hey, you know what if I just make flyers and start putting them on fucking telephone poles again? You know what I mean? Like, it's something we have to take back as a DIY community, especially with this music, because it's what it's always been. And I think that's with any bands, you know, like the next, so we're trying to be like something to say, okay, maybe we won't get 40,000 listeners on Spotify. I could give a fuck. Like, I'd rather have 4,000 listeners who truly, truly give a shit about what we're saying. And I know that this band was not built for everyone, even though we stand for everyone and we truly want everybody to come together and be this united front. It's not going to get there probably in our lifetime, but damn it, if we're not going to say there's a way to do it. And I truly feel that. And from the music standpoint, which has been all I've ever had and all I've ever been about, that's my platform. That's my voice. I wouldn't be a good politician. I can't lie. I can't bullshit people. I'm just going to come out and say to you in a World Sucks Record the same thing I'm going to say to you in a bar. So that's who we are. And that's not for everybody. That's uncomfortable because a lot of people have an uncomfortability being 100% authentic and true in any situation they're in. So that ain't us.
Well, yeah, vulnerability is definitely dangerous. You know what I mean? You putting yourself out there, you can get hurt, you know? And some people...
Of course.
Yeah, you know, some people don't recover as much and, like, find themselves as quickly. And that's what's important about, like, someone like you, some people like you guys just going out there and showing that it's possible. It's possible to be completely you in the most genuine way. And we kind of relate that, and I'll include this in me too, when we, like... look at other musicians that we idolize. There's a thing like when you first hear like a record that doesn't sound like what you would be kind of like fed on the radio or like, yeah, this is real. I like this. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
There's this thing, this switch that clicks. And like, so like, at least in the whole kind of like music realm or my experience of the music realm, the music that was most impactful was like, had this authenticity to it within some means of it. And like, so I guess like kind of like build off of that for you, what made you start singing? What made you like feel like this is who I am. I want to represent myself or I want to express myself in this way.
Oh man. All right. So like the second side of the No Go single is a song called No Fucks Given. I give you a brief synopsis of the song. It's about my brother who passed in 2013 of cancer. My brother was more like my father. He was everything to me. He raised me. He gave me the space to be myself. How I really started connecting with music was through him. So rumor has it that I was 3 years old. We were in a Caldor, which I don't even know if anybody knows what those are anymore. But we were in a Caldor and he had me in his arms. Apparently he was scrolling through records and he came upon Kiss Alive. And like my eyes lit up like the first time a kid would see like a fucking fireworks display or something, right? So like my life was changed from that day. Then like at 7 years old, Kevin, who's my brother, he played working for the MCA from Leonard Skinner. Like he felt like I was ready to kind of like evolve. Not that I don't still love Kiss, but that's another level. Once I heard Leonard Skinner, like I heard the guitars, I heard the musicianship. And at 7 years old, I was done. I was hooked. That was it. That was what I was going to do. You know, kids think of going to college, being an astronaut. Kids think of I was going to be a musician. I didn't care about making it. I just wanted to play. But when I started doing vocals, because like I tried drums, wasn't good at it. Didn't have a grip for the guitar. And he always yelled at me because I held it wrong, which is what I do to this day. So like these kind of things. Right. But like, that's what it was. And then like my sister and my brother down the hallway, they're listening to like the B-52s and the Clash and all this stuff. And I'm like, I think I like this better than Molly Hatchet and 38 Special, but I don't want to make my brother mad. So like I'm getting these two educations of music. And ultimately that's what World Sucks is. Cause you know, when me and Nick are driving down the road, we're listening to The Pretenders, we're listening to King Crimson, The Who. We still listen to metal. We listen to Overkill and Slayer, Anthrax and Deicide and Carcass. I could go on and on because like I'm a heavy metal historian and aficionado, and I love heavy metal. It'll always be my favorite kind of music, and death metal particularly. But there's so much more awesome music that I think some metal bands or even some punk bands just think you have to be like the Dead Kennedys and that's all you can be, or you have to be like, you know, Slayer and that's all you can be. I mean, imagine if Slayer started doing like, you know, pop songs, they'd probably be pretty good because, you know, like that's what I'm, there's a whole world of musicianship and it, like in hip hop, forget it. Some of those beats, some of those like, some of the poetry, within hip hop, and you listen to that and you bring that into heavy metal and stuff, and then you'd be the loudest voice. So it's one thing for us, and I mean, this is always something that I prided us on, or try to think of us as. When we're at a Palestine protest, or we're at a march or a disruption or something, you know, you have a bunch of people, right, that are really supposed to be the voice for that cause. And I understand that. So that is where I need to take a back seat and say, you have to be the voice. I'm here to support you. Y'all have to be the voice. Now, that's the same thing with women. That's the same thing being at a, you know, an abortion protester. Well, you have to be the voice. I'm behind you. I'm not going to be the loud white guy in the room. Sorry, I'm not. But when I'm in a room with a lot of white guys, then I'm going to be the loudest person. Because that's what I think World Sucks tries to be, that voice in a place where maybe those voices aren't as loud and they need to be, if that makes sense. So that's what it was for me. Just like, I want to do music and it's fun and everything, and been in a lot of dumb bands, been in some fun bands, but most of it dumb, until I got to this and realized that in the last 10 years, we've been able to create something that's very special, very authentic, very for the people. And like, this is now full circle, everything I've ever wanted to do. And I'm doing it with, you know, my best friend and person closest to me in the world, Nick, and with Tony coming in. Forget, I mean, sky's the limit right now, you know? So that's what I always wanted to do. That's why I started.
It's beautiful. And like that camaraderie that comes from getting behind someone's voice. And as a songwriter, or one of the songwriters, right, knowing that you have a team of just even two people getting behind what you have to say is huge, you know. There's nothing like that support. And like I feel that with my band, and it's like, it's something that's unreplaceable, you know, cuz it's all voluntary. No one's here to like win or do anything. They're here for you and what you have to say, and there's nothing like that. So I guess, how'd you meet Nick? Like, we touched upon there was other bands, but what was the initial like connection or like initial meeting?
Yeah. So me and Nick, it's funny. The guy that I started the band with, Enemy, it was so stupid. Like, the band was called Enemy, but Enemy. Like, it was Enemy. And I'd never heard New Music Express. I didn't know that existed. I thought I was clever, you know, whatever. So it put Enemy together, saying it fast with Enemy. You know, it was like a hardcore band, but like I said, it had very weird things that nobody was doing. And that's probably why we didn't catch on to that, like, you know, tough guy hardcore stuff that we've seen come around, which I still don't understand why, but like all that stuff that's come back. Anyway, point being, we had a drummer, we had a band, it was good, we were tight, we wrote some cool songs, and Nick was always around. Nick was always hanging around because Adam was his best friend at the time, and they were like, he was always hanging around, and Nick was just a really cool dude. And one night I had to get these tapes done, like our demos. Well, I barely knew Nick. I wasn't that good of friends with him at the time. I just showed up at his house, which I do. I'm pretty forward. I showed up at his house with a shoebox and a bunch of paper. And I said, hey, help me make these tapes. And I didn't really ask him. I said, hey, help me make these tapes. So he was like, okay. So I made these tapes. But like, in knowing that, like, our drummer wasn't that great. Like, he was a good drummer, don't get me wrong, but like, I was playing like orchestra director up there, because like, I had to tell him when they slow down, speed up. Like, he didn't remember the parts. And that was challenging, especially when you're trying to sing and you're trying to engage a crowd. And, you know, at that time, I'm mixing like old school WWF moves into the, like, I'm jumping on the crowd and stuff, like the whole thing. and like, Nick was a really good drummer, and Adam was like, just hang tight because you're going to be the drummer of this band. And that's really what it was. So me and Nick had like pretty good. And then he went to college, and then basically was like, nobody really went down there because, you know, like, some people lived in South Jersey, whatever. Our bass player never left his house. He just stayed in his room and got stoned. And if you wanted to see him, you went there. So So Nick went down to college, and I was just a travel. I was like, yeah, fuck it, I'll come down. So me and Nick spent a lot of time together while he was in college, and that's when it really started to grow into, like, the friendship and the family that it is today. And like I said, he went through indie bands, great indie bands. He was in a shoegaze band called Overlake, and they were, like, known. Like, they were really, really popular. And his life partner he met in that band, and, like, she's, like, the greatest person in the world, and she's, like, an unofficial, like, member of the family of World Sucks. It's a very small thing. She's definitely, like, a core part of it. So, like, all of these things, all of these people that Nick met somehow got hip to this, and they were like, metal. And then they saw us, they were like, oh shit, okay, yeah, you know. So me and Nick really just, like I said, 30 years, and that's how it happened.
That's beautiful. Like, and it's funny, it's funny, like, it's like little weird things like that, that, like, oh, I'm gonna go over this and make tapes with this guy, you know what I mean, like, that make this right. huge lasting connection that you don't realize in the moment, but later, looking back on all of it, you're like, holy shit, like, if I hung out with Jeff that day, you know, or fill in the blank, like, what would this be?
Totally.
Or
if if Nick wasn't the drum of Enemy, like, if he didn't become the drummer of Enemy, you know, what would that would have done? But I think it also, you realize that the relationship you have with your musician, like, people are in a band, right? I mean, you have to like the people you're in a band with. I mean, there was a couple people I was in bands with that I couldn't stand, but I mean, they balanced out. This is different. Like, this, like, the music is always first, but, like, there's just a whole nother part of touring or practice, because you're just constantly laughing or some dumb pun or something only y'all know. So there's, like, a really special aspect to that, to be doing the best work I've ever done musically, which is all I've ever wanted to do, and be able to do it with the person that I want to spend kind of my most time with outside my partner. You know what I mean? So it's crazy. It really is something where, like, what we've built here and like what we've constructed together, it's pretty special, man.
Definitely. And, like, that's what makes the whole, like, backing of what you're trying to say even more impactful, because, you know, and, like, I agree with, like, what you're saying. I think you do, like, you gotta like the people you're with, because you're gonna be in a lot of rough situations. You know what I mean? You're getting paid in pizza, and you gotta drive 16 hours that direction. I can only think of, like, a handful of bands that, like, hated each other, and, you know what I mean, like the Ramones or something, like, where, like, you know what I mean, like,
right.
But that they've already, like, understood, like, this impact they had, and they had, like, it's like a legacy thing at that point.
Right.
But so one thing I kind of, like, shit, what was I going to say? So going through all the EPs that you have on the streaming sources, one, I think it's cool that you're not putting it on the streaming sources yet. The thing I wanted to note about that was, like, it's like when you put something on, like, any of these streaming platforms, you're competing with, like, Paul McCartney. You know what I mean? Like, and, like, right. and no one in their right mind would do that. You know, you wouldn't put out an album and be like, yeah, I'm going to see how it does against who's a Paul McCartney or Phil. You know what I mean? But when you do that on these platforms, that's automatically who you're competing against. It's like the world's, you know what I mean? You know, it's so, it's absurd to think that something one would put out would be able to, like, be on the level of the playing field of Paul McCartney from The Rip. And, like,
sure.
But most of us who are putting music out as local musicians, I feel like you don't really kind of think of it like that. You're like, oh, I'm not doing good. Shit. You know what I mean? Like, this is, I must not be that good. It's like, no, you're not Paul McCartney, and you're up again. He's just the guy I'm thinking of right now. I don't know.
No, like, so it's funny. Here's an analogy that I've been using. I'll use this separately. I don't want to use this for Paul McCartney, because I love the Beatles, and okay. I love a lot of his stuff. But I will use this in a non-music form and tie it back to music, if that makes sense. So I'm a big wrestling nerd, right? And everybody is like, and you know, I'll ruffle feathers here, fine. But like everybody is just like WWE. Okay, fine. I'm more of a fan of AEW. I'm a fan of the style. I'm a fan of like the independent feel of it. I'm a fan of like the old school wrestling that I used to watch was like Mid-South, NWA, and then ultimately ECW. Of course I watched Attitude Era, but you know, I just was never really a big fan of WWF by and large. So McDonald's is going to sell a billion burgers. That's just going to happen because everybody knows what it is. Doesn't mean the fucking food is good, right?
Right.
So there's your analogy. Like if you tie it back to any band, any musician that these streamers continually push or that the mainstream media continually pushes, A, it's because it's lazy and you don't have journalists out there and people in the streets going to shows, writing on local bands, giving local bands or local, you know, record labels or whatever, this kind of platform to ascend to anything. And that's why you've seen like a lot of that 80s stuff, like the 80s metal, the hair metal and whatever that was. Don't get me wrong, I didn't like it per se. I like it better now than I did then. But if you look at that, you see that those bands, you know, they had people that believed in them and stuff. That's just gone. Like everybody's on their own. And it's really hard. Like when you're a band that has some success, you can't get a booking agent. You can't get a, you know, somebody to manage you. You don't have anybody to invest in you and believe in you, and you have to do it yourself. And a lot of people, regardless of whether they think of themselves or DIY, they do just kind of like throw their hands up, like, what can I do? How do I break through? I'll tell you right now, the way to break through is not through those fucking streamers. Give that up. Find another way to engage with people. Open up your shows to people. Go out and promote yourself. You know, just scream from the top of the rooftops, hey, we're a band, we're here. We're not the Beatles. But I will tell you this. If somebody told me tomorrow that World Sucks was going to open for Paul McCartney, you better damn best believe I am going to do everything I can to make, to bury Mr. McCartney. And I don't mean that in a boastful sense. If I don't think that my band is on that level, why am I even here?
Dig it. I dig that. I get it. I get it. Yeah.
I ain't afraid of playing with anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And nobody should be.
That's a great way to think of it. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's the best band at that moment on that stage. And like, you know, and you should feel like it is. You know what I mean? Because you are. You're there.
Right.
You're on that stage. Shit, man. Well, so, oh, that's what I wanted to bring up. So, putting a point in that, like, I could, like, as a group, you guys are super inspiring. And getting to spend some time and pick your mind, like, I get it. It's not just the group mentality. It's each one of you. So like one, we kind of talked about a little bit over the phone. I wanted to bring up Cinema. So how do you guys played with, my friends from Cinema?
Yeah, man, I gotta tell you, first of all, there's some of the most sincere and wonderful, beautiful people that I've ever met. I mean, they are just great, great, great people. And not only that, their musicianship and the way they kind of are off each other and the way, like, you know, people say cinema. And when you go to a cinema, you go to watch something. And if you go to watch this band, you can't help but watch what they do together. It's really unbelievable. We have toured with them on Weekenders. I would have loved, and I'm sure maybe, you know, they're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. Time will allow it. Where we get to play with them, you know, in multiple states and this and that, because we just have a really good bond, a lot of laughter together, a lot of camaraderie, and a lot of very common ground from not only music, but like other things. And they're just very genuine. And every show we had with them was just like, we knew we really had to go to another place to be able to keep up with that. And I love that. I love playing with bands that make me feel like I have to play better than I played the night before. And they always did that. And they were just great, great shows. And they're great, great dudes.
Yeah, no, those guys are super, super cool, super inspiring as individuals, and like their music is just, it matches them, which is what I'm getting from you guys. But like, did you listen to the one they did with Thor, the Swans? Yeah. Isn't that so sick, man?
I when they showed up, like when we played with them after that record was released, I had asked them, I said, are you going to be playing anything well for that, you know, live? And how are you going to emulate that performance? And they might have played a song or two off of that. And I can't be 100% that they played a song or two off of that. And they, you know, did their best, because that was just such an atmospheric studio achievement that they put out. So Nick, by the way, small plug for him here, him and his partner, Lisa, they have a wonderful show the first Monday of every month, and it's called Radiant Point. And they showcase, like, so during the pandemic, that was like something that got us through. We had this small little radio station called Radio Nope. And myself, I had a metal show called Thrasher Peace Theater, where like I had two of my buddies, and we were like, we were doing a lot of stuff within that. Like we were doing like comedy bits, like if anybody listens to Comedy Bang Bang or whatever, or like old school kind of like comedian stuff mixed in with a metal show. So that was like a lot of fun to do. But Nick and Lisa have this show that's ongoing, and it's on WGXC, and it's on the first Monday of every month. And they just bring you to this world of music. They you know, they scour Bandcamp. They highlight Palestinian artists consistently. They play these really amazing soundscapes, and they really highlighted that record. And that album's unbelievable. Like, it's an unbelievable listen. I wouldn't recommend driving listening to it, but sitting home and listening to that record, unreal.
You zone for that one. You zone for that one for sure.
Totally. Oh, it takes you out. It takes you someplace.
Yeah. It's such a small world. When I saw you guys were friends with them, I'm like, oh, this, okay, cool. This is awesome. You guys came across me through Judy from Glass Arrows, right?
Yes. Okay, so we're playing with them. We're playing with, I don't know her. I know of her because I was researching bands that I wanted to play with at the Westside Bowl on 5:30. We're coming to the Westside Bowl on 5:30, May 30th. And we're playing with Glass Arrows and Wednesday Demonstration. Before we get off, I have to get those bands promoted.
The actual list. Yeah.
Let me just go through it, because that's just off the top of my head. But I said, does anybody know of any great pot? Because this is what I was saying about bands throwing their hands up and not knowing what to do. So I said, screw it. I'm just going to create, multi messages for bands that are on these shows. And I'll ask people if they know of any local PR and just try to make it a street thing. And it turned out that people were like, yeah, I know this guy or I know that guy. And that's where you start to build past that, like, how do I get there? Do I need somebody? Do I need to pay somebody to do this? No, you need the time. You need the dedication, and just think a little bit about how you can communicate with your community. That is the life and death of what we're doing as far as a DIY thing. So that's what I did. And it led me to you, which has been nothing but amazing and pleasant thus far. Just think of how you can commune with people. I mean, especially when we're all trying to put together these shows and tours without big business getting involved. And it can be something for everybody. And we don't need to let, you know, the money man in, essentially.
Right. Well, no, I think that's an excellent strategy for that. Like, because that's who's going to know. And like, I'm excited for that show on the 30th of May. What I was going to say,
are you going to come?
I'm going to try to come. I can't remember. I can't remember if I have to look at my calendar if I'm booked, because Youngstown's not too far. And the Westside Bowl, like, is a really sick venue. Have you been there?
Love it. Absolutely. Yeah. We played our last tour.
That record store they got there. It's so sick.
Yep. Record store. They have a record store there?
They have a record store.
I did not know that.
Right? Like, it's like, because there's the two rooms, right? There's the room with all the lanes, and they have the one quadrant of the lanes where they have, like, the shows. And then there's, like the bar with all the food and stuff, and past that, they got a record store. And then there's, like, the other room, you know?
Oh, you know what? I do remember that, and it was closed. When we got there, it was closed. Okay. Because we played there, and we played the downstairs room, which was electric. Like, it was cool, because we actually played on a Wednesday night. It was like, there was some people there. It was really cool. Not that many, but it was kind of cool. Just that atmosphere, and, you know, we got the bull, and they just took such good care of us. They're just such good people. But what ended up happening was there was some 21st birthday upstairs. You know, some girl from the university was having her 21st birthday. They all came down, and then, like,
sick.
We just kind of incorporated it. We were like, hey, you know, let's send this song out to, you know, I didn't know her name. I was like, what's your name? And she's like, blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, this is for you. Happy birthday. So we made it like part of her birthday. And it was just a really, really cool show. Like, it was just like a really, like, take something that was there and make something out of it. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, that's so much of, like, making the best of any situation. Like, a lot of times you as a musician or artist, you set the canvas for what you want to express. And, like, when you do what you do, when you do what you guys do, you're moving everywhere, and the situation's always what's there. So, like, that's
right.
It's amazing to be able to take this strategy, take the people there and make it the most fun that everyone can have. So, like,
exactly. So, all right. So I pulled up our itinerary. We're playing Thursday, 5:30, which is May 30th in Youngstown, Ohio, at the Westside Bowl. We're playing with Wasted Society, Glass Arrows, and Wednesday Demonstration on that show. And the night before, we're in Cincinnati, Ohio, at the Comet, and we're playing with Armidus, Dahlia Parton, which is a fucking killer name, and Good Soup. So it's like a really punky, almost like, and I know that Dahlia Parton is like an industrial type of DJ vibe. So when we're booking tours, like I said, it's not about genre for us, because I think that some of our best shows have been with musicians and artists that are very diverse, from metal or from punk. It's like, you're always looking to expand what you're doing. Everybody could see the t-shirt. They could say, punch your local Nazi, politicians lie, cops kill, the rich steal. Right.
Right.
And they're like, oh shit.
I get it.
Sick.
Yeah.
Right. I get it. These guys are cool. And that's fine. And a lot of people, like, and this was something that always kind of, like, stuck up Nick's butt. He didn't like it. It really got him mad, actually. It was like, some people would buy the shirt before they'd see us. And he was like, oh, he's like, I don't want people buying the shirt without knowing what we are.
Yeah.
Not buying the CD. Now, 9 times out of 10, it would turn out that they would come back and either buy the CD or follow us and stick with us. It wasn't just to have the shirt.
Right.
But like I said, it's not something where we want that song or that message to have to be like our fucking dream on or Free Bird, and it's the song we're known for. We have so much more to offer, and that's why we kind of discontinued the song, and we do it on request. And it's kind of fun when we do it, because we don't really practice it. So it's just like, you're getting this, because we haven't played the song in months. So here, we'll play it. It's going to suck, but we'll have fun with it, because you want to have fun with it. You know, there's something to be said with that too. Just this very organic type of, and I hate that word actually, this very natural progression through a show. Like, we have our set list, but we don't know how one thing's going to go into another. We know that it's important for us to tell you what these songs are about. We know it's important for us to also make you understand that if we heard anything on the road, right, somebody texted us and we're like, hey, man, I saw you were playing this bar. This guy was accused of, you know, some pretty bad shit with a woman or something like that. We'll cancel that show. We're like, we're not playing. Like, and we'll text the bands. We'll be like, you got any replacements for this venue? We can't play here. And I think that that's important, right? Because if people get wind of us doing those things, which we wouldn't do anyway, but if people get wind of us doing those things and not taking those stances, it's just a fucking show, man. The more important thing is what we set out to do and who we are as a band and what we're here to do, and that's make it a safe place for everybody. And to not play a safe place is just fucking pure hypocrisy.
Well, I think what you guys are doing in the level and the attention of detail that you guys are doing it at is only going to keep proving that, and it's going to make the world suck less. And this
that's
has
awesome.
It's been a lovely conversation, and I really appreciate your time. And like right there, I think that's it, man. That's it.
Please come and see us. Please, please give us a chance. Come on out, 529. You know, say hello. Just come be part of the community, man. Just like grow this whole thing and make it for the people, and you know, make local music mean some shit. And let's have fun. And like I said, 529 in Cincinnati, 530 in Youngstown. And I really hope to meet you there, man. I really
Likewise.
Hope you come out.
I really hope. I hope it's not one of the days I'm booked, and I hope I can be there. If not, I'm going to make. I'm gonna use this to try to make sure everyone else comes out. Oh, that's what I wanted to ask. One last
yeah.
thing before. So when you're researching bands, right? Because like so much of like booking is looking at other bands and trying to like make that community. Personally, I'm working on that same thing too, and like. I know a lot of people who are listening who are in bands, they're trying to find that pathway too. And there's so many outlets of like ways to find people. What do you typically use to like reach out and make bills? Are you using a specific platform? Are you using a Discord or a Reddit that you found that really helps with this type of thing?
Oh, nah. So basically it starts with, There's multiple ways, right? But this is how I usually figure it out. Start to research venues in those cities. All right, here, we're playing Tampa. There's three cool venues. Oh, they got an Instagram. Oh, they keep posting their flyers. Oh, cool. This band's played there. That band's played there. That band played there. Then you just start to make this list of endless bands that are in this city and just hit them up and be like, yo, are you interested in playing with us? Or first of all, vet them, you know, make sure there's something that's going to fit and something you want to play with and, you know, that it's not going to be too out there. And then say, yo, you want to play with us? You know, this is what we're doing. This tour is about funding for regional abortion. Sometimes they won't respond to you. Sometimes they'll be like, you know, MAGA. Other times you'll get these really cool. I think, no, seriously. And then other times you'll just get like this. You'll just get this other you get these people like, oh my God, you guys are amazing. Let's ask the whole band. It comes together pretty quick. I think the key is to have the lineup before going to the venue. This way you have a full lineup for them to sell their night because a lot of venues don't work hard for local bands. They don't, let's face it. And they put it on the bands and this and that. I think it's really that. Oh, and one last thing I wanted to add. I'm so sorry. So I hope that works for everybody. Like I hope I'm giving some advice to people that are making them realize that, like, you know, putting in that work and those hours, and some people just don't want to do that, man. But like, who's not on their phone every 10 minutes? It's just a fucking Instagram message. Get on there and spread your message. Be about your band, be about your, you know, your product or whatever. And just like, don't my biggest peeve with bands, and I'll say it right now, and I hope this doesn't make anybody mad. If it does, tough. But we can't play right now because we're writing or taking a break. Taking a break from what? I understand if you're working or something, get that. But like taking a break, writing songs, what? You have 11 followers. Get the fuck out there. You know,
yeah,
if this means some shit to you, do it. But anyway, that's just me.
No,
I don't want to be policing anybody.
I double down with that because, like, I just did like a little tour, and I've been working on booking out of town stuff and reaching out to so many bands, and like,
yeah,
that one always kind of got me. I'm like, okay, all right, like,
right. Listen, if you ever need any, you know, any East Coast bands or East Coast help, obviously you're going to hit us up because we'll help you out.
Well, I appreciate that. And
I will tell you this.
Follow you up with that.
In closing, I do want to say, and I haven't said it the whole conversation, it's horrible. All the way up through our tour, which is 517 through 526, we are touring with our buddies, God Called in Sick from Philadelphia. Fantastic band. Yeah, they're like a hardcore kind of band, but they do it different. They intersperse things. They're wonderful people. Rachel, Nick, Justin, Cassie, they're just all wonderful people. They put on such a great show. So anybody that's hearing this that's going to come see World Sucks, expect to have your mind blown by God Called In Sick too, because they're just really cool people and they put on a great show.
Awesome. Is there anything else plug-wise that we didn't get to?
All right, so we're going to be on the road from 517 through 531. We're going to be hitting mostly East Coast areas, but then we're going to be going whatever. I'm not a geography guy. I got to be real with you. So it's like we're going through Philadelphia, North Carolina, Georgia. Honestly, I don't even want to go through all this. I just want to tell everybody to go to our, you know, World Sucks Instagram. You can see the tour poster where we're going to be. If we're in your town, come on out. Like I said, all of the proceeds of our merchandise, half of the proceeds of our merchandise are going to be going to a regional abortion fund in your town, you know, to help people that need it. And the tour is called No-Go 2024. And it is our last as a duo before we introduce the incomparable Tony Ducey to the band lineup. No-Go comes out 4/26. We know that. That'll be on Bandcamp exclusively. The 7-inch will be available at shows. The single will be available at shows. This tour, obviously, half our merchandise of everything we sell in every city is being dedicated to a chosen regional abortion fund for the whole tour. Every city has a specific abortion fund we'll be donating to. Honestly, man, I'd like people to get involved, follow us, and really get themselves committed to learning more about the history of Gaza and Palestine and what we can do as people as well to kind of change the trajectory of where we've been for this last 75 years for these people. The Sudan, the Congo, man, there's so much we can do to help people. Just get involved outside of the music. That's what our stories are there for, to tell you what's going on and take it from there. You know, that's really what I want to plug. Like, we can liberate everybody if we fucking want to. We can do it.
It's well said. Well, thank you so much for your time, man. This has been awesome. I really appreciate
it. Dude, it has been incredible. And I hope to meet you.
I hope to meet you too.
Yo, Spike Spiegel here. You just listened to Zig of the Gig podcast. Keep riding the bebop. See you, Space Cowboy. Bang.